Dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions or the manner of life which you have been taught, hold, whether by word, when we're discussing, or by our epistle. Hold what you have been taught. The subject is upholding dedication. Upholding dedication. Our objective is understanding what it takes to hold up our dedication to God. What does it take to hold up our dedication to God? The need to uphold one's dedication to God is very critical for many reasons. Very critical. But I'll give two reasons why we must uphold our dedication. One, in the spiritual realm, it is possible to go off without knowing. It is possible to go off tangent, off center, without knowing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and in verse 5, it said, 2 Corinthians 13, 5. Examine yourselves whether you are still in the faith. It is possible to go off without knowing. Examine yourselves whether you are still in the faith. He said, prove your own selves. Know not ye yourselves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. So our dedication to God calls for consistent re-examination, because it is possible to go off without knowing. You know, when a car is running on a straight road and it misses a little into the bush, swerves a little, and it's on top speed, by the time it will stop, it has gone very far from its destination. Also, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. He said, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, in case he falls. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Don't be over boastful of your stand, because a fall is possible if you are not careful. The Bible said concerning Samson, he wanted to move like other times, but he did not know that God left. Judges chapter 16, verse 20. So it's possible for God to leave you and you are not aware. It is possible to be off point and you are not aware. It's possible to have missed God and you are not aware. He's asking, he says, are you still in the faith? Are you still on your feet? Or are you slipping back into the world? Are you slipping back into the world gradually? Have you allowed some things into your life that were not there before, or that were not meant to be there? That is why we must uphold dedication. Because in the spiritual realm, it is possible to go off and you are not aware. Secondly, it is important to uphold our dedication, number two, because the last days are days of the confrontation of dedication. They are the days of the confrontation of the dedication of God's people. He said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Where men shall become lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. They are covetous, they are boasters, blasphemers, disobedient to God. Please don't rush too fast. Second verse. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good,
traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. He said, from such, turn away.
And in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, he said, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold.
People you used to know to be on fire before, in the days of campus evangelism and campus Christianity, you look for them, now you cannot find them. See signs and symptoms of the last days. They are the days of the confrontation, of the dedication of God's people. So these are days where you must be on the guard for your dedication. Confrontation of dedication by the multiplicity of evil.
Hallelujah.
Having said that, I will say two things that we note. One, to uphold your dedication to God, you must be deliberate and decisive. You must be deliberate and decisive. You must be deliberate and decisive. You must be deliberate and decisive, because nobody stands by choice, by chance. Sorry. To uphold your dedication to God, you must be deliberate, you must be decisive. To maintain your spiritual fire, you must be deliberate, you must be decisive. In the midst of the kind of climate we live in our generation today, to be on fire for God still, you must be deliberate, you must be decisive. And the second is like, now you must be deliberate, you must be decisive. And I added to it, nobody stands by chance. Everybody seated, now you are writing. If you want to stand, you make the choice to stand. You don't stand up and say, why am I standing? You don't stand up by mistake. Neither do you remain standing by chance. People stand in any realm. Physically, spiritually, you stand by choice. The second point is like unto this. First, second, to stand and remain standing, choices must be made and actions must be in place. To stand and remain standing, choices must be made and actions must be in place. There are choices to make and there are actions to put in place. So, what are those choices that must be made? What are those actions that must be in place so that you can stand and stand fast and keep on standing? Number one choice and action is, one, unceasing prayer in the spirit. Shakoko bagalagarata satalala. Unceasing prayer in the spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues is not just given to us as a language of prayer. It's a tool for dedication. And I'll show you shortly. In Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18, he's saying, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, and that will help you to watch. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying in the spirit is a platform for watching over your soul. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all sins. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, we should pray without ceasing.
First Corinthians chapter 14 verse 18, Paul said, I pray in tongues. I thank my God. I speak in tongues more than you all.
Why does praying in the Holy Ghost, how does it hold us up? How does it uphold our dedication? Three things. First, that's 1A now. The Holy Spirit is the vehicle for spiritual fire. Vehicle for spiritual fire. Matthew 5:11, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. 3:11. And then Luke 3:16. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Luke 3:16. Holy Ghost and fire. The Holy Spirit is the vehicle for spiritual fire. So you cannot be vibrant in the Holy Ghost and be lukewarm spiritually. It's not possible. You cannot be vibrant in the Holy Ghost and be lukewarm spiritually. The Holy Spirit is vehicle for spiritual fire. Number two, the Holy Spirit irrigates the heart of man with the love of God. Irrigates the heart of man. As you pray in the Holy Ghost, and as you flow in the Holy Ghost, your heart is saturated with love for God. Romans chapter 5 verse 5. It says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost, which is given unto all. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the Spirit of God is the Spirit of power. He is also the Spirit of love. He is also the Spirit of a sound mind. Somebody is asking, Pastor, show me a secret of loving God. One secret, pray abundantly in the Holy Spirit. How can I remain in love for God? I want to love God like you do. I want to love God. I want to love God. I don't want to be lukewarm. Pray abundantly in the Spirit. He saturates and percolates and animates and invigorates and vivifies and vitalizes your heart and animates your heart with the love of God, and you don't have a better yesterday spiritually in the Holy Ghost. Thirdly, so how does the Holy Ghost help us to stand? He's a vehicle of spiritual fire. He irrigates the heart with the love of God. And thirdly, so the Holy Ghost makes you to love God passionately. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit makes you uncomfortable with wrong actions and attitudes. He makes man uncomfortable with wrong actions and wrong attitudes. You cannot carry the genuine Holy Ghost and remain comfortable with wrong. You are not praying enough, studying enough, living in sin and all those kind of things, and remain comfortable with the Holy Ghost. It's not possible. 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 20, he says, we have an unction from the Holy One. That is the Holy Spirit. And he makes us to know all things. You know when you are on the right path, you know when you are on the wrong path. You know when you are doing things well, you know when you are doing it wrong. By that unction from the Holy Ghost. John chapter 16 verse 7. All the way to verse 8. He said, when the Spirit of truth, nevertheless I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. When he comes, he will let you know what is right and what is wrong. That's the summary. So, how do you uphold your dedication? Number one, through unceasing prayer in the Spirit. Number two, consistent consecrational fast. Unceasing prayer in the spirit is our number one weapon or tool for upholding our spiritual, our dedication to God. And number two is consistent consecrational fast. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 5, Paul the apostle was talking about how in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, he was telling us the secret of his life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and in verse 27, he continued in fastings often, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often. Paul the apostle literally was a chronic faster. No wonder he loved God with a passion. He said, necessity is laid on me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That was the talk of a chronic faster. Listen, the Master Jesus also expects his people to fast often. In Matthew chapter 6 verse 16, he said, moreover, when you fast, not if you fast, when you fast. That is, he expects us to fast frequently. Not for things necessarily, but for him. When you fast, when you fast, when you fast. What is the power of the fast? To help you uphold your dedication to God. First, fasting intensifies, amplifies, accentuates spiritual passion and hunger. Fasting intensifies, amplifies, accentuates, escalates spiritual passion and hunger. That time that the stomach is hungry, it draws on hunger in the spirit. Now, I'm not talking based on theory, neither am I talking based on what I read anywhere. I am talking based on what I saw in scripture and what I experienced in my life. Psalm 63, verse 1 to 3. He said, oh Lord, oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsted for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. I am connecting spiritual hunger with physical hunger to see your power. I am linking spiritual hunger with physical hunger to see your glory. My soul thirsted. See that again. My soul thirsted. My flesh longeth. Every time the flesh is longing, the soul will be thirsty. Flesh, physically, is looking for what to put inside it. It draws on a test. The longing flesh equals a thirsty soul. Am I communicating? That is the link, that is the union, that is the connection. When you put the flesh in longing, when the flesh is yearning for what to eat, congratulations, there is an amplification of test in the soul. Somebody say amen. What is the power of the fast? No, so the fasted life keeps a man in a spiritually hungry mood. The fasted life, it keeps you in a spiritually hungry mood. This has been my life for as long as I know. When I did the first dry fasting, 3 days, as a young boy,
30, 42 years ago. Small boy. There are days my wife will ask me, have you eaten? I say, I think so. And they will check and I have neither eaten breakfast nor lunch. And this is 4 o'clock. Oh, you have not eaten? Oh, that is the food there. Oh, I'm sorry, I thought I have eaten. All right. I think it has happened even 2 days ago or so. It just, there's something that Kenneth Hagin calls the fasted life. And I'm not advertising it for you, in case, because there are people who cannot survive beyond 10 a.m. The whole body is already shivering. In fact, there are people, it's better they don't fast at all, because by 12, they start looking at time. They say it is 6 o'clock, this is 12. It is well. Hallelujah. When the soul is thirsty, the flesh is longing. When the flesh is longing, the soul is thirsty. Number two, fasting facilitates spiritual watchfulness and sensitivity. He said, take heed, he that thinketh is standing. It facilitates spiritual watchfulness and sensitivity. There are things that you are easily able to pick up during the regular consecrational fasting. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6 and 8 tells us of the fast, and in the course of this fast, he says, your light shall break forth, revelation shall break forth, sensitivity shall break forth. Acts chapter 13, verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, they fasted, then they heard something. You might hear that your prayer life is going down, your fire is going down, that person is not a good friend for you. Slow down, don't go out to that meeting you wanted to go today. Things like that. You can uphold your spiritual life by consistent consecrational fast. And that is what fasting does for you. You are assisted to know and do the right thing by the agency of the fast. They knew that they must separate Paul and Barnabas, and they did it as they fasted. You are assisted to know and do what is right by the agency of the fast. Number three, skipping company with the dedicated or passionate. What is it that can help you to uphold your dedication? By keeping the company of the dedicated and passionate. Proverbs 27:17 makes it clear that nothing sharpens iron like iron. Iron sharpeneth iron. So does a man sharpen the countenance of his friend. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. And when they beheld the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Iron sharpeneth iron. Iron cannot sharpen wood. Did you hear what I said? Iron does not sharpen wood. Iron only sharpens iron. When iron is made to sharpen wood, the two of them lose. The wood perishes by the friction of the iron, and the iron is blunted by the impact of the wood. Do you understand what I'm saying? Try and use iron and knife and use it to sharpen wood. The sharpened edge of the knife will be blunted, and the wood will lose substance. Am I communicating? What is the impact of dedicated association on your dedication? Association with the dedicated. Number one, company facilitates mutual influence and impartation. Mutual influence, mutual impartation. When you associate with somebody, something is leaving you into them. Something is leaving them into you. No association leaves you neutral. He that walketh with the wise must be wise. That's Proverbs 13:20. Mutual influence, mutual impartation. So when you connect with the passionate, your passion increases. When you company with the dedicated, your dedication shifts level. What I'm talking about can be so serious that you can be so much on fire for God and marry water. That is the end of the fire. I told you before that I know a young lady. I think she started singing at the age of 12. Voice like the voice of an angel. Up till that time, I had never had a voice that sang like that until she got married and her voice disappeared. And she has not sung again till today. Do you understand what I'm saying? I've heard of stories of people who had vivid encounters with God. They will see angels maybe like you see people until they marry the wrong person. Then they can't even see their own shadow anymore. Am I communicating? They can't even see their own shadow anymore. That will never be your portion. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. What is the impact of the dedicated association, please take your seat, on your dedication? Number two, company, the right company, shields one's life. It shields your life from enemy attacks that could lead to a crash. The right company, the right association, they shield your life from enemy attacks that can lead you to a crash. It shields you. In Acts chapter 4, verse 23, when the faith of the apostles were threatened, the Bible said they went down, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Chief priests and elders. The right company. Acts chapter 14, verse 20, when Paul was stoned, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up. There are times when the devil wants you on the floor. But when you have the right people surrounding you, you get up on your feet. Am I communicating? The devil wants you on the floor spiritually, on the floor physically, on the floor in affliction.
All you need is just the right people to surround you. And in a short while, you are on your feet. I see somebody here tonight, you are getting up on your feet. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. Say amen like you are a believer. Somebody shout, I am getting up on my feet. No devil can crush me down. Take your seat. That was why the Bible said in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Verse 10, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he has not another to help him up. In the year of 1987, I had a lot of confrontations on my faith spiritually. Someone that I love and who loved me like you love your blood child was lost. I missed other such confrontations. And my faith, then I rededicated my life to Christ not too long, was grossly shaken. And I was at the verge of strewing back into the world. If I'm a Christian, why should such things happen around me? Or why should the Lord allow such a thing? I was at the verge of strewing back. And what are my friends? He had not even given his life to Christ yet. But we were together before I left them. And I gave my life to Christ. And he came and saw me and said, what am I hearing? That you want to return back and join us? We don't need you back. We want to be like you. Don't come and be like us. That is like God using the donkey of Balaam to speak to Balaam. But we are the one trying to become now how you are. Don't become how we are. We don't need you back. If I ever heard a preaching from an unbeliever, that was a preaching. It went deep down into my soul. And I said, devil, I am not going back. Several things happened around that time. May you be surrounded with the right people. That amen can be better. If you are saying amen, say louder, amen. It is the right friends that will pray you out of the hand of the devil. They will pray you out. They will fight the devil on your behalf. They will fight witches and wizards on your behalf. The Lord will show them revelations, give them light and insight. They will see things about you and go before God. They will fast on your behalf without your notice. May God give such people into your life. May God release such people into your life. People that can fast on your behalf. People that can pray on your behalf. People that can intercede on your behalf. May God release them to you. If you believe that, shout the loudest, amen. Stand up on your feet. I have more things to say. But I'll leave it till the next service of midweek, where I will do the part two of this message. Because I realize that we say so many things and many times we are not even able to do one tenth of the things that we are hearing. Just do these three this week. Blast in tongues like you have never done before. Make a schedule of consecrational fast. So rigid nothing can change it. No smell of food will cause you to break your fast. On the day you have chosen to wait on the Lord. Trust God for the right quality of people. And if you can't find the company of God's children in the house care fellowship. I mean, that one is a constant. And don't forget what I have said.
Upholding dedication to God is a choice that must be made, backed up with corresponding action. Take your seat, write this down. Upholding your dedication to God is a choice that must be made and must be backed up with corresponding action. Otherwise, I say it like this. Until the choice is made, life is left at the mercy of the negative forces of the earth. Upholding dedication to God is a choice that must be made and backed up with the corresponding actions. And until the choice is made, life is left at the mercy of the negative forces of the earth. Some people are wondering, I am having problem with having friends. Before I know it, the person I call a friend became an enemy. Engages you in heated competition or contention or conspiracy or break trust. All I can say to you is, just keep on doing the right thing. Be the right person and be the right friend. Pray for people who don't even know you. Intercede for brethren that come to you. Their condition is a burden to you. They don't even know you. They are not even aware of what you are doing. Keep doing that. Life is a seed. After a short while, your life will be filled with people that care genuinely about you. Your life will be filled with people that are not there to use you. They are not there to see what they can get out of your life. But they are there to see what they can impute into your life. They are there to see the difference they can make in your life. What you sow in time, you reap in time and in eternity. Be the right person, and very soon you will attract the right people. Stand up on your feet. Be the right person. Be the right person. Be the right person. And very, very shortly, you will attract the right people. Keep praying for those that need to be prayed for. Keep interceding for those that need to be interceded for. Keep touching lives that need to be touched. Very soon. A man that must have friends must himself be friendly. That is the key. Be a friend, then you will get friends. Don't even struggle to be friend to him. Just do it even undercover. Undercover. Very shortly, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that ticket closer. That is the friend of the lonely. One note only. The friend of the lonely. Lift up your hands. Just go ahead and worship him. Treat him for the word you heard tonight. Lift your voice and say after me, say, Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I give you the praise and the honor because you are God. I receive the grace to put this word into practice. To pray in the spirit. To pray in the spirit. I receive the grace for a disciplined fasting life. For the right company, I receive that grace. Lift up your two hands and just go ahead and talk to him. In the name of Jesus. Take your seat 1 minute, lift up your right hand. Just feel His presence in this place. Lift your hands and be washed. Will you be upstanding everywhere? Just lift up your hands. Worship Him in the Spirit. Somebody who has been trusting God for a visitation, tonight is your night. Lift your hands, pray in the Spirit for 1 minute. God is about to encounter you and change something. Something is changing now. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands high, close your eyes. Holy, holy. You have been struggling to come out, struggling to go up, struggling to change your circumstance, change your environment, change your situation. And tonight, that struggle is over. Lift your hands high. The count of five, you place your hand and scream, "I receive." That is a visitation. A change of story. For somebody here tonight, you are coming out of a cage, out of a prison house. Somebody, your life is inside a bottle, and that bottle is breaking right now. Take this moment serious, because this is the visitation you've been waiting for. They bottled your destiny from getting married, imprisoned your life from touching your resources, imprisoned your future. Yes, 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 your career. Lift your hands at the count of five. That's what helped them there. At the count of five, you scream, "I receive," and there will be diverse visitations and diverse encounters. Receive your visitation. Receive your encounter at the count of five. In the name of Jesus. 1, 2, 3. Receive it. Receive. That's right. That's right. You are stepping out. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Receive. Step out of that prison. Step out of that cage. Step out of that bottle. Step out of that hole. Step out of that entanglement. Step out. Step out. Step out. Step out. Now, 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 now. Step out, step out, step out, step out, step out. I command you to come out, to come out. I command you to come out. Let the baruna have the kelebinayala. Let perediato sedebiala last. Exekadila. Ashkalamania. Step out now. It be.
Lift your hands and give him the prayer.
Thank you, Lord.
Your freedom has just been confirmed. There are diverse encounters of people stepping out of prison and out of holes and pits and bottles and chains and so on. If you had a visitation like that and an encounter or in another direction, quickly rush to the front and let us receive what God has done for you. Give the Lord a clap. Take your seat. Take your seat. While those are coming, you came in here with a very terrible heaviness on your head. It has just disappeared now. A terrible headache has just disappeared. A right-sided affliction on the chest and upper abdomen has also disappeared now. A lower back condition has been healed right now. In the name that is above every name, ulcer has just been healed now. And in the name of Jesus, that door that was closed against you, as you leave here before the coming Sunday service, you will return back and confirm that that door has been opened. In Jesus' precious name. Those with the encounter on one side and those who had the healing on the other side. Somebody, your eyes afflicted as if there is smoke covering your eyes. Sight is being affected right now. God is healing and touching that eye. I command your eyesight clear
in Jesus' name. Come stand here. We give you glory, Lord, as we are.
Come. This sister here, lift your hands high. I take authority. I am taking authority over seizure disorder, whether it is for her or for her sister or relation. An epileptic devil, seizure disorder. Power! Go out of that body in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That tormenting devil is arrested and returns back to hell and never comes back forever. In Jesus' name, stand up and find out for us. I take authority over everyone in that condition. Every demon of seizure, demon of epilepsy, everything that comes upon you in the night and you are not aware and just torments you, it is arrested now. Stand up. Something just happened to her. Stand up. Tell us about it.
Sister, my junior sister, the devil strike her. She has not seen her mercy since birth.
Seizure.
They saw how, and then
epileptic devil seizure disorder. Find all the details and let us know. Lift up your hands. Lift your hands. I take authority over spiritual children, spiritual husband, tenure expire. Fire of the Holy Ghost expire. Yeah, no, yeah.
free, 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 free.
Bianukeleya. 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 Ezra. Hey, hey, hey. Something is happening here. Mahashada. Ancestral curse being broken. Anti-marital curse being broken. Anti-marital curse. Every demon that say you should not be married or not stay married, their yoke is broken. Now. Bianukelea. Bianukelea. Ezara. Bianukelea. Help other. Maya, ya, 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 ya. Bianukelea.
Just 1 minute, people.
Sir, these are all encounters. This young man said that at the count of seven, he saw a mask removed from his face. Our sister saw herself out of prison. At the end of the count, she saw herself flying out of the prison.
A prison?
Yes, sir. This young man, his own is in a pit. A pit, sir. And this brother, his own is inside a bottle.
Inside a bottle.
Inside a bottle.
Everything that was mentioned. I announced, listen to this, by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet he was preserved. Between now and coming Sunday, I announced to you, it will be there that God has brought you out of that prison. You are out of that pit. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. Shout the loudest amen. Shout the loudest amen. Somebody shout, I am out.
Free.
Yes. Sir, the prophetic declaration was so accurate.
Please be seated.
She has been seeing herself inside a cage and a serpent hanging at the door. So every time she sees the serpent, she's unable to escape out of the cage. And she said she has been married for 6 years now with only one kid. Every time she has conception, everything will just go.
The serpent will swallow it.
Yes. But with that declaration, she had an eruption in her tummy. And she believes that the next is
free. The cage is out and you are free in Jesus' name. What happened here?
Amazing word of knowledge here. This was about the first person you picked out, and then the word that came for her. You took authority over the spirit of epilepsy. At that point, when I was speaking with her, she couldn't recollect. But afterwards, she said, from when she was about 4 months old till 9 years of age, she was told she suffered that. And that also killed her older brother.
Her epilepsy healed from 4 to 9, and it also killed her elder brother.
Elder brother, exactly. He convulsed until he was gone.
Step over here. Every demon afflicting your family and your lineage, whatever it is, that is. Now, the reason why that was mentioned is that it is an ancestral thing. She was also mentioning something about her sister having a mind situation. Right? Everything affecting your family and your lineage. Lift your voice and say, in the name of Jesus, every ancestral curse, every generational curse affecting my life and my lineage, today is your end. Your yoke is broken. Broken! Now!
Take your seat, people. So while we were ministering in the crowd, you pulled out this sister, ministered to her, took authority over anti-marital spell. I asked her, she's almost 50 years of age, not married at this age. And the word located her.
Lift your hands. And not just her, but in the family. I take authority over that. Go! Now. Everyone that is of age here, and the enemy has tied you down, that chain is broken! Free. That yoke is broken. For the sake of time, just tell me all the lineup.
I came here with ulcer pain, and you gave the word that.
And the ulcer is gone. For how long?
For 5 years.
5 years. Congratulations. What happened to you? Ulcer healed. What of you? What happened to you? A scale of snake dropped from your face. What happened to you? Waist pain healed. What of you?
I myself came out of a cage.
You came out of a cage. What happened to you?
Heaviness of head.
Heaviness of the head disappeared. What happened to you?
I came out of a cage.
You came out of a cage. What happened to you?
Heaviness of the head.
Heaviness of the head, one side disappeared. What of you? Your eyes, that was not. What was wrong with your eyes?
They said it's glaucoma.
Glaucoma.
Yes, and they said we should go to Equa Eye Center.
And how bad was the eyesight?
It's just like smoke.
Smoke, sister, the way I mentioned
smoke,
it.
Yes. Yes.
Sure. You assisted her to church. Smoke, yes, covered the eye.
Yes, sir. I could not see. I came to church.
You couldn't see. You brought her.
Yes, sir.
She couldn't see.
She was here yesterday. She couldn't see. She came to ask somebody
see.
To assist her, but nobody
but
could.
Can you follow me now? Follow me. Are you just looking like that? That woman brought her, she's smiling. See the smile on the face, tells the story. See the smile on the face, it tells the story. She could not see. Just a moment. Smoke covered the eye, no seeing at all. The woman there brought her to church yesterday and also brought her to church today. Woman who brought her to church, come. Show us how you people came when you are coming. Show us how you brought her. Show us how you brought her. Yes, so show us how you were walking. You have to lift her leg to climb places and just to hold her like that. All right, come follow me. That is a person they had to lift the leg before she could walk. And then, are you just sitting and looking like that? This is midweek service. It is not crusade. It's not healing and deliverance service. It's midweek service. Stand on your feet and celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you.
don't think we can take all testimonies now. All of you, your testimonies are permanent. You will dance your way back after this declaration. Lift your hands after me and say, Father. Now, God brought people out of cage, out of pit, out of prison, out of bottle. Open the eye of the blind. What is that saying to you? Whatever has been closed and locked up against you is opening tonight. Between now and the next 3, 4, 5 days, you are returning on Sunday with a confirmation that which has been locked and closed against you has been opened. Marital doors, financial doors, career doors, destiny doors. Lift your voice and say, in the name of Jesus, everything closed and locked up against my life. Tonight, you are open. No! Open your mouth and pray. Pray. Open, open, open. Likete baranda sakata braga barodoso manakata la braga biraga lagadia lefedo zatangra toska pela karata skabadish sheke peledo sianta rakabada letaranda skabra toske pila galanda sati. In the name of Jesus, overnight tonight encounters shall continue that shall open you up to your destiny and give you what belongs to you in God. Going up to the high places to tear the devil's kingdom down. Overnight tonight, the angels of God will carry operations on your behalf. They will carry out operations in your family, in your community. Tear down altars that will not allow you to rest. Let's go, celebration. Let's go. You can dance back to your seat now. And you'll testify on Sunday if you can't testify today. Up your hands everywhere you are. While that singing continues, you are here today. You need to surrender your life to Jesus. You want today to mark a new day for you. I'd like you to step forward here. Carry your Bibles. You have heard the word. You have seen the miracles, the signs, the wonders. You are saying to me, Pastor, I want to be free. I want to be born again. I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. Quickly come forward here. While they are coming, the communion takes position. Go ahead. Go ahead. Tear the devil's kingdom now. Quickly, I give you the count of 7 to come. 1. God bless you. 2. 2. 3. declared and decreed the communion of dedication. Grace, fresh grace for continuous dedication, for established dedication, for outstanding dedication. Be communicated via the communion in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And everything in your body, everything in your system, everything in your life that my Heavenly Father has not planted, I declare it is flushed out. It is flushed down. In the name of Jesus. Give us a testimony, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Take your seat. Go ahead with the communion. Just distribute the communion. And once you receive the communion, pray upon it. And once you pray and you receive, and you are... And you have prayed on it, go ahead and take it. Those of you standing in the front, place your hand on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus, I receive grace to live for you. Deliver me, Lord, from the life of sin. Today, I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. From today, I go forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I call it down in Jesus' name. Fresh grace, fresh help, and fresh mercy be released upon you in Jesus' name.